1,000 pretty women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton. You are listening to Katz with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitis. I write the Katz Report, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and in the Las Vegas Sun print edition at least three times a week. What's going on, lovebird?
I'm Trisha McCrone, a.k.a. The Dish, and I am a national television producer, Las Vegas publicist, and bestie to Johnny Katz.
Yes, you know that, baby.
All of these wonderful credits. And now we are all about the love today. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you're wearing a necklace that says love.
I am. Oh, you are.
Yes, a little Tiffany necklace.
Say love.
Yes, thank you.
I hadn't looked down there yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's, and I'm wearing something that is kind of low cut bit too, and I didn't even notice.
Nice necklace.
Thank
you. Which reads love.
Thank you.
Hand it over.
Thank you. All you need is love.
You know it. Yeah, it has been. Well, let's go with the lovebirds that have descended upon Casa de Shenandoah.
Yes, this is really excellent. It's very cool. We were approached by Animal Planet, and there is a show called Confessions Animal Hoarding.
Animal Hoarding.
And it is a show that's on Animal Planet, and obviously I think the description of the show tells what it is, but it isn't that this is that these are people who are being harmful in any way to animals or anything like that. I want to make that you know very clear. It's very much that they are they're people who just had too much and they couldn't no longer care for them the way that they wanted to care for them. So they are the ones that actually reached out to Animal Planet for this, and it is 200 lovebirds that were actually living and flying freely in these people's homes. And so
inside the homes
yes,
on their property?
Yes. I don't know any really specifics about who they are, which we will find out when we watch the show on Friday, August 12th at 10 p.m.
We'll
a little plug
it.
There. But so what had happened is they had contacted Animal Planet, and Animal Planet had gone in and retrieved all of these birds and contacted Wayne and the people at the Casa de Shenandoah, since obviously we have a lot of exotic animals, a lot of exotic birds.
And the Wayne in this instance is Wayne Brady. No, Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton, yes. And so so they contacted them. And of course, Wayne has veterinary staff on staff to take care of all the different animals, like the penguins, the wallabies, the, you know, everything, sloths. You know, and so, and that, by the way, this... contrary to popular belief, I am not one of the sloths. when I do have lupus, I do sleep a lot and seem to come awake in the middle of the night.
I've never said that the sloths run circles around you.
they do. They're fascinating. They do actually move very slowly, but we'll talk about that another time. And kind of like me when I'm in my lupus flare. But so they volunteered to do this. So the birds are being delivered, and Wayne, has a lot of people on staff that take care of it, that take care of them. And there's some people that, you know, obviously that, Wayne has some lovebirds, but not many. He's got over, I think, 40 different breeds of birds there now.
Right.
So.
When they're let loose, what happens to them? Are they just free
No, they're actually going to be, unlike the peacocks who sort of, you know, just roam freely because they
peacocks
sort of,
go wherever they
want. Yeah, they go wherever they want, which is lovely. I mean, it is kind of fun, actually. Lovely.
They're a little menacing.
Well, no, they're not. They're beautiful, but it's just that during mating season, the men put up their...
Yeah, they get a little aggressive.
They put up their beautiful feathers, which most people don't know that actually only the men are pretty in the peacocks. Oh. And that they do the little booty shake where they attract the female. And I kind of think that, you know, I wish that more men would booty shake for me. And that
well,
way I
saw,
can
I was going to tell you, I saw five or six of those during mating season, those peacocks down at Ghost Bar at the Palms. And they were not unsuccessful, let me tell you.
Yeah,
they have
a
held room there, and it was party time.
It's kind of fun. Actually,
Charlie Sheen hangs out with them when he comes down.
They're now goddesses. But it's kind of strange. I remember the first year I moved down to the ranch, and there was a reflection on my window going out to my pool. And so there was this loud banging noise, like literally somebody was trying to like come through my sliding glass window in my bedroom.
Oh, that was your window?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Here was a male peacock that had seen a reflection of itself and thought that it was another male, and there was a female around, so wanted to fight it. at 6 o'clock in the morning, thus, you mm-hmm. know. There's a lot that goes on. There's there's two birds that mate in my pool every year. I mean, there's a lot of loving going on.
I don't doubt that.
Not really including me, unfortunately.
All animal life. But you were saying that these birds are going to be somewhat contained. There is a
sort of a sanctuary that has been built for them. So when they do arrive, they are going to go into the sanctuary. And it will be part of the Casa de Shenandoah, Wayne Newton's Casa de Shenandoah tour, which opens hopefully, I think, by the end of the year, beginning of next year.
Yeah, by this time next year, that thing will
yes.
be up and running.
And so, people will be able to see. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's
how cool.
But it's interesting, but it's wonderful because, I mean, you know, love birds. Who doesn't love birds?
Well, I understand they're good eating. So if this
stop!
Doesn't work.
Stop!
I'm kidding.
Stop, and they're the only birds in the birds that I didn't, in the movie The Birds, that didn't freak out.
Me?
I'm always poking you.
Don't poke the Johnny.
Oh, we all know what happens when that happens. But
Now,
speaking of something else involving love, well, now we know that I am now going to be sharing my space
with
200 lovebirds. Let's talk about your love. It's quite different.
I have covered the fifth anniversary of the Love Cirque du Soleil Beatles production at the Mirage.
But
this
isn't just covering. This is you are such a Beatle fanatic.
Yeah, I am. I am.
You know
one
everything
of those
Beatles,
people.
And so this is kind of a dream come true. What you got to experience this?
Well,
week.
You know, and it dates to the opening of the show. I got to be involved in the coverage of the opening in 2006 of the show, and I got to know some of the people with Apple Corps, which is a licensing company for the Beatles, and got to know Cirque du Soleil very well. So it was a big thrill to cover that opening, and I got a chance to, over time, be introduce myself to Paul McCartney at one point. And I've been face to face with Yoko Ono and Danny Harrison and people like Ravi Shankar, who's the sitarist who taught George Harrison how to play, and people like obscure people, Neil Aspinall, who drove their van, was their friend forever. I met him. So I got to know these people that have been just mythic figures to me. And this week, I interviewed George Martin and Giles Martin, and Sir George Martin is the man who produced all the Beatles music from 1962 to 1969, all of their catalog he had his hands on, from the auditions at Parlophone in 1962 all the way up until their last recordings at Abbey Road for the album Abbey Road. So to be in that, we went to the monitor room, the nerve center of the Love Theater, and did this interview, and I'll tell you what.
Had you been there before?
I'd been in there before, yeah. I'd actually talked to both of them before when they did the Love CD, the soundscape, the soundtrack CD. They did a playback. So I'd been in their presence before, but never one-on-one like this. And Giles did remember me. And I'd talked to George Martin at various times, but I sat down across from him, and I'd tell you what, Dishy, my heart was thumping. I mean, I could feel it inside my chest, and I was just like, I hope that I can keep it together here. Because
and that's so rare, because you are one of the most cool, calm, and collected individuals that I know.
Yeah, I did great until about 5 minutes in when I retched on the floor out of nervousness. But other than that, I think I did pretty well. You know, there was a great moment that I haven't even written about. Before the interview, we were kind of setting things up, and Giles is about my age, and we're kind of have the same, you know, communication level. You know, I just really get along with him. And there was a Rolling Stone magazine, a special edition that listed the top 100 Beatles songs of all time. You know how they do these lists?
Sure.
You know, editions. And I had not seen it. And he had not seen it either. And we happened to come upon it. Yeah, we just happened to come upon it. One of the guys who worked for either Apple or Cirque had it. And so I cracked it open and I start, you know, kind of fumbling through it. And we're looking at it. And I go, what do you think's number one? And he goes, well, what do you think's number one? And he said Strawberry Fields Forever.
Great song.
And, you know, which it is. And I said, I would say Day in the Life. And he goes, okay. So we wind into through the top 10, Let It Be, Hey Jude, you know, Revolution, I think, was in there. I saw her standing there. I mean, all these songs are brilliant.
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields comes in at number 3.
Oh!
I turned to him and I said, mine is either number 2 or number 1, but I beat you on this.
Wait, how did you know it wasn't, if it wasn't like 59?
Well, we just had rolled through.
Oh, you went through the whole thing.
Well, we've kind of fingered through the last 10.
Yeah,
I knew that Day in the Life was going to be in the top 10.
Okay, I don't know.
I mean, it couldn't have been anywhere else. And so I forget number 2 might have been Penny Lane. I'd have to go back and look. Number 1 was Day in the Life. And he turns to me. Giles Martin, who's in charge of all the music
he
in the Love.
He is the Beatles guy.
Yeah, in the Love show and on the CD, who's heard more of this music than maybe anybody except possibly his father and the band, turns to me and he says, you can't interview us because you know too much. And this big laugh went up inside this monitor room. But it was a great thrill, and I wrote a really fun story about it. They talked all about, George Martin talked about being at their first concert in Washington, D.C. in 1964, and just the bedlam that they were exposed to throughout their whole career. And we had a chance to do that.
It's a great story. And so you can actually read it on LasVegasSun.com, the Katz Report, and also on your Twitter at Johnny Katz and at Katz with the Dish.
Right, at Katz with the Dish. Both places.
But yeah, all those places you can read it.
Right. So anyway,
wow.
quite a week.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our guests. We're going to be opening up with...
And by the way, I love you, Johnny.
I love you too.
Okay, hence, now we can talk about it.
Hence the necklace.
Thank you.
Speaking of love, someone we're quite fond of, two people we're quite fond of. Angel Perino is going to be our first guest. She's in absinthe at Caesar's Palace. She's the bubble girl. And also has been in Peep Show and Holly's World. She's part of Holly's entourage and is a good friend of hers and a delightful young woman. Followed up by Frankie Marino. And remember that name. He's an entertainer who's off to really big things really soon. And he's been known to perform at Rush Lounge at Golden Nugget, but he's far beyond that at this point. And mixed in is going to be Josh Bell with movies.
Yay!
Stay tuned.
Viva! Hey, it's Holly Madison, and you are listening to Katz with the Dish.
Las Vegas!
Sitting with us now is a woman who this year has been featured in two Las Vegas Strip productions, Peep Show and Absinthe. She's also famous from Holly's World, which is a reality show starring our friend Holly Madison. Angel Perino, thanks
Hi.
For coming in, Angel.
Yes,
good to see you, honey.
You too. How are you?
I have never been happier.
Aww.
Thanks for coming
Angel's
in.
Amazing. We love Angel.
We love Angel.
I love you guys.
I love seeing her here in the studio.
She's such a sweet
person.
Seated
here being interviewed.
I know. You're like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's like a breath of fresh air.
She is.
I have a quick Angel Perino story.
Okay, you go, then I'll tell mine. Okay, you tell
one time I was working down at the Starbucks at Planet Hollywood. I think it was during Miss America.
No, wait, you weren't working at the Starbucks.
Oh. Right.
So I'm there, making venti
lattes
and serving up the fruit cups. And... I was committing journalism down there. Actually, I was standing behind Miss Louisiana, so it was during the pageant. I was in line behind her.
That's
as
amazing
it turns
that
out,
you
that's how
that.
I roll, Dishy.
I know.
I'm behind Miss Louisiana at Starbucks.
Always.
So I'm standing there minding my own business, and who shows up but Angel?
Uh-huh.
Walks in, and you're dressed as a hippie.
Yeah.
Remember that day?
Yeah, I do. I remember it very clearly,
Angel,
actually.
What are you doing? I just decided to dress as a hippie today, so I took a photo of her.
And twit-picked it.
Twit-picked it out. It was one of my,
so
I just
what made
doing
you dress
that.
Like a hippie
I still
day?
Don't know why you were dressed as a hippie, but you looked adorable.
I don't know either. I just was feeling it that day.
Yeah, I think you were going to go protest the Vietnam War.
I could have done a lot of things. Could have done a lot of things that day.
Could have protested anything. Yeah. Well, my story is kind of strange. That when Angel was about 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. 16. Yeah.
2 years ago.
Right. She. I was working at a Las Vegas based website company, the V.TV, and I was sort of running Las Vegas, and we were doing auditions because we were looking for, we wanted to find some people for to do a shoot with one of the Ira Dean from Trick Pony, which is a famous country band, and Angel came in and we immediately fell in love with her. She came in and auditioned, and every single person that you know was in the room when we auditioned her, we were like, we have to have this girl. And then we're like, oh my gosh, she's only 16. What are we going to do? We were originally shooting it at a bar. I mean, we literally moved heaven and earth to shoot this show, to shoot this promo thing that we were doing in a hotel room. And I remember going to Ira because I'm like, she's gorgeous. Remember, two words, jailbait. Don't do anything.
Oh my God.
Like, we had to make sure there's no alcohol on set. Like, I was so nervous for poor little Angel's virtue that she wasn't seen with real alcohol, all of these things. And now, next thing you know, she is like the vixen of the Vegas Strip. So there, so obviously I did a very good job protecting you from all of the
definitely.
Evils of Las Vegas.
Oh my God.
So that's so hilarious. Angel and I go way, way, way back.
That's so crazy.
I know.
Well,
she's literally walked in the door and we're like, this is the girl we have to have. And you stole the scene from everybody.
Yeah, I think I was dressed like a hippie that day too, actually.
Yeah, you might have been.
So this hippie thing is nothing
new.
It's just part of the rotation.
Yeah, just rotation.
One day you're a hippie, one day you're a pirate, leprechaun, mm-hmm. astronaut.
80s, like...
Indian chief.
Right.
It's like a one-woman Village People
Sometimes
outfit.
I just don't match for no reason.
Yeah, there you go. And because she's gorgeous, she can get away with any of it.
She does get away with a lot because she's gorgeous.
True. Stop
so
it.
Now let's talk about how did it come into where... I think the first time that the rest of the world saw you was in Girls Next Door.
Yes.
Right. So now how did that all come about where you got connected with Holly and then that led to Holly's World and everything else?
Okay, so I was 17 and my agent at the time had submitted my photos to Playboy without me knowing. And yeah. And they were like, well, she's too young. We can't use her. She's only 17. We got to wait till she's 18. And like literally a week after my birthday, I got a call and they were like, my agent was like, so Playboy wants you to come out and test. And they wanted to
Which kind of
you.
Photos were these?
They were just regular modeling shots.
Just regular.
Yep.
Standard. They weren't, were they nude?
No, so they didn't even ask you if you would even consider doing Playboy.
Right. Nope.
Wow.
Nope. She just submitted me and like assumed that I was going to want to do it. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't really know what to think. She called me and she's like, yeah, Playboy wants you to go out and test to be a playmate and then want to film it for Girls Next Door. And I was like, well, I'm not too sure. Like I just turned 18, like haven't even graduated high school yet. And so I like, of course, go right to my parents. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like I grew up in a Christian home where, you know, that's not necessarily...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not the favorite. Okay. That's not the favorite reading matter right, in a Christian
not,
home, yeah,
exactly.
Right?
That's not what they, you know, they're like, wow, we hope you're, that when she turns 18, she'll go and pose for Playboy,
go the distance. Yeah,
and you're Las Vegas native, right?
Yeah, born and raised. So, I like prayed about it a lot, and my mom and dad were like, you know, we don't really condone it, but we don't condemn it. So you're 18, you can make your own decisions. We think this is going to open up a lot of doors for you, but it's up to you. Like it's your, you have final say over what you want to do. I was like, okay. So I just prayed about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. It's just a test. I don't have to be in Playboy. It's just a test. And if I don't feel comfortable, then I'm not going to do it. And I got there and they were filming and like, I like broke down. I was like freaking out, like so nervous, didn't really want to do it. Like these other girls had huge tits and I was like negative A cup and like so shy and I don't know. And Holly made me feel warm and welcome like right mm-hmm. away, just like
is there such
home.
A thing as negative A cup?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's a boy question.
There
Continue.
Is now.
Okay. Continue.
I got what she was talking about. Okay. No, I don't have it personally.
I wasn't implying that anybody at the table did have it today. I was just wondering.
Yeah, not today.
Certainly not Angel, who's rectified that issue. But I was just wondering if there was such a thing. I was not familiar with that okay. particular
so,
size.
So you met, Continue. That's when you met Holly?
Yeah, that's when I met Holly. And that the first day I got there wasn't the day that I tested. We actually just hung out that day and got to know all the girls and whatnot and met Hef. And he took us out to dinner that night to Saddle Ranch. And... we were all just eating dinner and, you know, they have like a mechanical bull yeah, that you can ride. Yeah. And Holly's like, I really want to go on the bull. Who wants to go with me? And I'm in this dress because like, I'm going to dress up and look good and like blah, 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 like trying to look good and impress people. So I am in this dress, this tight little dress. And she's like, who wants to go on the bull with me? And no one raises their hand. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. I was like, I will. Like, of course. Yeah. I'm like, so I just manned up and went on there and I like. Couldn't get on the bull because my dress was so tight and so little that I have to lift it like all the way over my butt to like get on whoa. To straddle. So I was like, I need a pair of pants. And I looked at this big heavy set guy and I was like, you give me your pants. And I made him take off his pants and he just like stood there in his boxers and I put his How pants funny. On and I got on the bull and rode the bull. And I think ever since then, Holly and I have been kind of connected. Mm-hmm. And the next day I tested and I didn't get it. And I was kind of happy because I wasn't too sure if I still wanted it, but they didn't want me. So it worked out perfect. And like a month later, I had moved to Texas with my son's father, and it was just a really like bad time for me. And I got an email from Holly and she's like, the network loved you, they want you to be on season 5, just move out here and be with me, just come out mm-hmm. here and just hang. And I was like, oh, okay, this is like God sending a rescue down to me because sure. I was so miserable. And so I was like, yes. So I packed up all my stuff and I went out there and I lived with her for like maybe 4 months. And yeah, we just kind of hit it off. And then mm-hmm. I moved back to Vegas because the time was up to be with Roman's dad, and she left Hef and started mm-hmm. dating Chris, and we were both right. in really like bad situation. So we were kind of each other's rescue.
And both in Vegas. I mean, how amazing that she then relocates to Vegas, yeah, where you're from.
It's
so
perfect.
You already have your family. Yeah,
yeah,
perfect.
That did work out well, mm-hmm, for you. Mm-hmm.
So while she was out here and after her and Chris broke up, she ended up, you know, living at my parents' house for a little bit with me and while I was pregnant. And it was just, we just instantly bonded and we've just kind of been inseparable ever since.
So now, how did it come about that you became her understudy in Peep Show?
Well, I've had a dance and theater background my whole life. So I think when she needed a break, she was like, Angel should do it. Like, why not? You know? And yeah, she's opened up a lot of doors for me. I'm really, really grateful, like forever grateful for her. Mm-hmm.
That was a direct result of your friendship,
oh, totally,
with Angel. I mean, absent that, they probably would have gone elsewhere.
Yeah, totally.
And then we've seen so much happen. I mean, so on Holly's World, on last season, or a couple seasons, the first season, actually, I mean, you have really opened up about a lot of things. I mean, you got breast implants on the air. I mean, that was like, that. I was like, wow. I mean, you really committed to really opening up your life when you signed on for the show. Has that been hard, living your life in front of the cameras?
No, I actually love it because I feel like a lot of girls like are thinking and like feeling the things that I am, like being a single mom and, you know, not being really happy with, you know, your body type or wanting to do something and not really being able to and trying to live out your dream and multitask and have a kid at the same time and be an adult. And I just like to show people that it is possible and like everything happens for a reason, you know, like having a kid isn't the end of the world and, you know, you can do anything that you put your mind to. So,
are you happy as a single mom?
Yeah, I love it. I
mean,
love
I know you love Roman. He's adorable.
He's so awesome. He just turned 2.
Wow.
Yeah, I hate it.
Is it hard to deal with him? Or
yeah, he's hard to deal with, but that's not why I hate it. I just feel like he's growing up and he does things on his own now. And I just want him to be like a little, like, helpless baby where he needs to depend on me for everything. And that's not it anymore. He's like, no, I want to do it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, he's already starting to like be all independent.
Yeah, I hate it.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
bittersweet.
So cute. So now, do you think that getting the surgery, do you think that you would have felt comfortable doing Peep Show or Absinthe if you hadn't gotten the surgery?
No.
Wow.
Absolutely not. I was
shy. Huh?
No questions. I wouldn't have said yes at all. Maybe if I was wearing pasties. But even then, I think that I just wasn't very comfortable in my skin. And I'm like, you know, girls are supposed to be, you know, even if it's not huge boobs, you're supposed to have something there. And I, like, after having a kid, my boobs got so big from, you know, breastfeeding. And then they just, like, shrunk down to, like, literally, like, National Geographic boobs. It was tragic. So
that's an interesting description.
But you got a visual.
I did.
We did. That's good. Yeah.
Different culture, but the same. Yeah,
right,
the same
right.
effect. But absent the shows, let me ask you it this way: if you weren't in Absinthe, and if you weren't in Peep Show, and you didn't have to depend on your physical appearance so much professionally, would you have done it anyway? Would you have done it?
I think I would have, just because I feel like it boosted my confidence a lot, and I was always just looking like a little boy. And I don't think I would have gone as big, but just had something, you know, to fill it out, fill out that extra skin that I had.
So now
the mommy makeover, they call it, by the way.
Now that you, because you auditioned for Absinthe on Holly's World, mm-hmm, and got the job at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So now that you're doing that, will you still understudy for Holly when she's gone?
Yes. We have it written in a contract. Like I substitute for her certain weeks out of the year. Like it's already set in stone. And I don't fill in for her again until my contract with Absinthe is over. Because, you know, summer months are really busy. They need Holly there to bring in, you know, all the people, all the ticket sales. So it's working out perfect.
And Absinthe is just at Caesars until September?
Yeah,
is that
September
correct?
18th is our last show. But Lord willing, fingers crossed, we just break down for a month and sign another contract for another 6 months.
Yeah, because it's doing really, really well. And we just actually saw you the other night for the first
time. Yeah, that's right. I saw you guys. You were like, psst.
I know you're back there, we're like, Angel!
We were waiting until you actually performed before we made ourselves known. You know?
Yeah.
It was kind of a stealth
thing.
I made
myself known before she walked out.
Yeah, you did.
Make yourself known wherever you go. But that's just how you operate.
I roll. it's very, very cute. I don't want to give it away. But you, if you saw Holly's World with your little tap dance routine, they do find a way to put that in.
Yeah,
I'm not
and
gonna
it works.
I'm not what it is that you do because you have to go see her in Absinthe.
I was
going to
describe the whole thing, too. I better not. Okay.
You can describe it a little bit.
They spin you around on skates. No, that's not you. You know, you go in.
It involves a giant bubble.
Balloon. Bubble girl.
Yes.
Yes.
Bubble girl.
Yes. And it's very, it's sexy. And then it's this very sexy, dramatic thing. And then you're very cute with your little.
It's actually, I just found this out the other day. Like, I always thought it was a weather balloon, but I guess it's a fetish balloon.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I could argue that in your hands, all balloons are fetish. Right? Let me ask you this, Angel. I have to do this. You're listening to Cats with a Dish, John Katzelmeadis, Trisha McCrone with Angel Perino, currently of Absinthe. You've had a lot of success in a very short period of time.
Yes.
And you're very young.
Yes.
22?
22.
How do you prevent 22. Yourself from getting too big-headed?
Not when the balloons.
Yeah, thanks. Nice qualifier.
My parents actually helped me a lot with that. I have a good like support system. My manager and even Holly, my PR people, they all just, you know, don't forget where you came from, because that's what ruins you, to be honest. Like when you get cocky and feel like you deserve things. And I mean, everybody has bad days where you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
But
for me, that's every day.
Yeah.
Every day starts. That's my launch point. Before I even roll out of bed. But we were interviewing, you know, I mean, we've had the privilege to interview some superstars, Trish and I, and myself in my world. And I'm thinking of Gladys Knight when we're talking to her. Super, superstar.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very humble woman.
Yes.
Wayne the same way.
Yeah.
Newton. And I've always wondered how people like that keep grounded and how at a very young age, if you're looking at people,
yeah,
not just them, but people like that as a model.
Yeah, well, even I feel like Holly's very humble also.
She is very much so.
She's like my biggest role model in life. So I feel like, you know, she's been so successful in what she's doing and I just need to take after her and, you know, excuse me.
Bless you.
You know, do my own thing as well, not be like a complete copycat, but, you know, remember where I came from and everything happens for a reason. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed to be here. You know, like it's a privilege and I don't deserve any of, not deserve, but I don't feel entitled. I'm not entitled to any of it. I don't know. It's really easy for me to just kind of be normal. I feel like not really get cocky.
But now being a single mom, I mean, and now being all over the place, both on television and in, you know, two very, very successful shows here in Vegas in such a short period of time. I mean, you must have all the crazy men coming out of the woodwork trying to date you. How do you deal with that?
That's so funny you say that, because I actually don't. Like, I don't.
I think I know a couple who have come after you.
I'm not going to out people on the radio, but we'll talk afterwards. But yes, I know a few people in this town that are nothing short of obsessed with you.
Oh my gosh, I need to know who these people are because I don't know them.
So are you single or are you dating someone now?
I'm actually dating somebody.
Really? Yeah.
Anybody you want to discuss?
Who
no,
is it?
I can't. He lives in LA, but he's just a normal guy.
Really?
Oh, good.
I did not know this about the Angel. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Well, see, then we could tell these people that we know. You
she's dating a guy in LA.
Yeah.
But I mean,
she's busy.
He's in LA. He's in a different area code. And
well,
I'm not married.
Who do we
married,
know in LA?
So.
Who do we know in Los Angeles? Let's start. Was he once the governor? No. Let's just start there.
No, that will be
it.
So, but I mean, have you found that,
yes,
though, that you have to be a little bit more particular when you do start dating somebody since you're famed, that they're in this for the right reason?
Yeah, and because I have a son, like, you know, you can't just bring anybody around. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to date around and see who I like. Like, no, it's not like that. It's like, I need to know you for a long time before I even consider, because I want to know your motives and, you know, why do you like me? Is it just to be like some arm candy or, you know, do you like me for who I am? Like, it's hard. It like boggles my brain and I think about it a lot, but I try not to think about it too much. Otherwise, I'd just be like, I'd be lonely forever.
Yeah.
At what point would you allow Roman to see you perform either in Peep Show or Absinthe? Do you imagine what age that would be when he would be receptive and you'd be allow him to look at you that way?
Ugh, I haven't even thought about that, to be honest. I would play with the balloon like in front of him, but I don't know about getting topless. I'm naked in front of him at home, but like, I don't know.
It's different.
There
are
different.
Other
people.
Yeah, when you're in an audience of people watching you. Yeah, I'm thinking about actually in the show.
Yeah, I don't think it would happen for a while until he understood that, like, you know, this is just work, and I think it would take a while, and I probably still wouldn't really feel comfortable with it. I don't think, like, hey, come to my show, son. It's just kind of weird.
That would be the night I babysit him.
Yeah.
Hey,
right?
Wait, whoa, hey, how did we end up here?
Uh-oh,
Uncle Johnny, one and done.
Uncle Johnny, I love it. Now Holly just started, Holly just started singing in Peep Show.
Mm-hmm.
When you take over, are you going to sing as well, or are you going to?
No. That's one thing I do not do is sing. I mean, I would be willing to try if they were like, we really want you to do it. let's try it. I would try, but at the end of the day, I know their answer would be no. So I don't even want to set myself up for failure.
Well, you've got a kind of a sing-song voice anyway, as does Holly. I mean, it's not that much removed from where how your speaking voice is to sing in that particular role in that show.
Yeah, I feel like if I were to have to do it, I would just kind of, you know, word the words.
Yeah, speak the words.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. There you word go. Word the words. I wouldn't really sing. I would probably just... I would probably just like kind of characterize.
Talk your way through So now when Holly was here doing her interview, we actually were sitting here and you both have the same publicist. And so the whole thing was going down between you and Laura Croft with the drink throwing and that the day that Holly was here. So we were all kind of.
He was tracking that one. We were all kind of being,
you know, getting the so blow by blow, I guess you could say, sort of run down in that.
Stuff
so
like, now, I can't believe this is
not
going
Laura
on.
Croft. I'm sorry, I said Laura Croft. She is your friend. I meant to say Jade Nicole.
Not Laura.
No, it's Laura Croft is your dear friend.
Although,
she's wonderful.
Who hasn't been in a drink throwing contest with Laura anyway, right?
Yeah, Laura.
So no, and crazy. I mean, was that Jade Nicole feud real? I mean,
they're real. I actually cannot stand her.
Good. Really? Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I have to say, I was.
Can you elaborate?
I was a little bit. When we were here, I was like, what? Someone came down a little angel? Because I always think of you as little angel because I think of you as 16, no matter what you do.
I always think of you as 16.
Like, angel's so sweet. What do you mean? I can't stand this Jade Nicole. And then when I watched the episode, I was even more angry with her because I can't stand her either.
I mean, if I saw her at a club or at dinner or something, we wouldn't be mean to each other. Like, we're okay. Mm-hmm. Now we're civil. But I mean, I don't care for her.
You don't hang out with her.
Right. I wouldn't call her up and be like, hey, let's go hang out. And I wouldn't go out of my way to go say hi to her, but I wouldn't punch her in the face if I saw her, you know? It's just something.
Those are good boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like there's a wall, but you're just give me my space. You can keep yours, but we can be in the same vicinity. It's okay.
And I hated that she put her hands on my Joshy.
Oh, that's another thing.
She just crossed so many lines, and no one was standing up for themselves or for anybody. And Holly's so quiet and like hates confrontation that I'm like, if you're not gonna do anything, I will. Like,
yeah, you were strong and tough. I was impressed, Angel.
Thanks.
I was like, don't mess with Angel. I love it.
I wish I could have gotten a few blows in there, but kind of pulled us apart a little bit.
So now, what do you want to do from here?
Every time I get asked that question, I don't know how to answer it. I just kind of feel like I'm taking my life day by day right now. Like, new doors are opening up, and if I feel they're good ones, I, you know, walk through them. And if they're not, I'm like, I don't know. I think I'll hold off on that. But, you know, I eventually want to headline in my own show, have my own reality show, and just, you know, grow.
Now, are there any talks of doing any type of spinoffs for any of you from Holly's World?
We've talked about it. Holly and I have talked about it a little bit, but, you know. We haven't really.
Well, if that works out for you, the affiliation with Holly will be less and less. The more successful you get, I mean, it'll have to be because you can't keep following Holly everywhere.
Right, totally.
Have you envisioned what that's going to be like? I mean, could you guys conceivably be artistic competitors at some point if you get a show and she's got Peep Show?
I think it would be. I don't think it would be any type of competition. I think she'd be really happy for me, and I'm always happy for her and always support her. And I just don't think it would be anything crazy. Like, I don't think we would end up, like, hating each other, like, being jealous. And I don't think that'd be it. I think she'd be at my opening night in the front row with tomatoes, like,
oh, tomatoes, ready to go. And what do you got? So we should say also there's going to be another season of Holly's World coming up, so you guys start filming pretty soon, I think.
Hopefully,
you?
Yeah.
So Catcher in Holly's World and at Absinthe at Caesars in the Spiegel tent outside. Yes. And what are your dark nights? How many nights are you at?
We're 6 nights a week. Our dark nights are Monday, and we have 2 shows a night, except for on Wednesdays and Sundays, we only have 1 show, 7:30 and 9:30.
Definitely go see her. She's amazing in it.
It's a great show.
Thanks, guys.
Great show, and you're great in it. Thanks for
coming
down,
Angel. Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you.
Cheers.
Holler.
Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So, Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! The Air Force set that fire. They want the town empty for some reason. This whole operation, this whole military operation, the evacuation, everything, it's all bad. We need to find Mike.
Did you hear about Joe?
Look,
Dispatch just got a call on Citizens Band. Joe and some of his friends, they were grabbed by military personnel at the middle school.
That's a scene from Super 8, J.J. Abrams' entertaining new combination of coming-of-age story and sci-fi blockbuster. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at movies opening in theaters this week. Set in 1979, Super 8 is Abrams' tribute to the early films of Steven Spielberg and the entertaining action-adventure films of the 1980s. The main characters are a group of misfit teens who witness something they weren't supposed to see when a military train derails and unleashes a mysterious monster on their small Ohio town. The young performers are excellent, and Abrams has an infectious enthusiasm for the material. Super 8 doesn't do anything radically new, but it infuses familiar movie elements with a new sense of excitement and wonder. I give Super 8 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris, featuring Owen Wilson as the latest Allen stand-in.
This is unbelievable. There's no city like this in the world.
You're in love with a fantasy.
I'm in love with you.
Wilson plays Gil, a frustrated writer who visits Paris with his fiancée, played by Rachel McAdams. Through a sort of mystical contrivance, Gil finds himself every night transported to the 1920s, where he interacts with people like Ernest Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald. Midnight in Paris is a goofy, somewhat insubstantial riff on the power of nostalgia and Woody Allen's literary and artistic heroes. It's far from sophisticated, but it's also playful and fun, and Wilson makes for a pretty good Allen stand-in. I give Midnight in Paris 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's opening in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Our next guest is best known in Las Vegas for his appearances at Rush Lounge at the Golden Nugget, that's where I found him, and whose band has toured and recorded with Air Supply, but he's so much more. He's just signed a recording contract with Sony Records, and this week he and violin virtuoso Joshua Bell performed Eleanor Rigby at the after party for the 5th anniversary of Love at the Mirage. He will be touring this year with Michael Bublé. And he's off to so many exciting things. We can't wait to hear about him. Welcome to the show, Frankie Marino.
How's it going?
Yay!
No valid complaints. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's past my bedtime.
I know. It's been a busy week for you. I mean, it's busy anyway, but it's been crazy. Yeah. You're here with your brother, Tony.
Yeah.
Who plays bass in the band.
He plays bass. We brought a couple of guitars. I know you
brought a couple
of
guitars. We haven't done music.
I know. This is really exciting.
Other than you've sung a couple of bars of things, right?
Yeah, I sang for Jerry Mitchell. Yes, because I pretend I was in Legally Blonde. Yeah. And a couple things. What else? You think you sang Ebony and Ivory once.
I sang a couple of bars of Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, but this
that's
is
when
our
we had Stevie
like,
Wonder on.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
That was actually Holly Madison.
It was actually Holly Madison.
But
long similar. Story. Yeah,
yeah, long story.
Same
but
difference.
Yeah, this will be our first live music. It's like groundbreaking radio.
Well, not
Cats
only
the
that,
dish.
But we literally wrote this song in the car on the way over because we wanted to perform something we never performed anywhere before. And so I don't know what this is going to be like. If I can't
it's
even read my writing. Or
it's going to be amazing. I'm going to be pressed.
Something. We'll be quiet and you guys just do what you do.
All right.
She's the one who puts the color in my eyes. She's the sun that shines a light across my skies. She's the one who keeps me warm when it can be so cold. She's the one who tells me everything's okay. She's the only one who makes me feel this way. She's the only one who says she will never go. She's a river that is raging through my soul. She's the answer to the questions I don't know. But she's leaving. What do I do? She's leaving. She's the one who feels so perfect by my side. She's the one who makes my senses come alive.
Every hour of every day, my thoughts are filled with her. She's the reason why I feel like I belong. She's the words to every one of my love songs. But she's leaving. What do I do? She's leaving. What do I do?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
We're doing the wave.
Oh my God. You guys wrote it on the way here?
We were trying to write something. We had an idea for this song a while ago called She's Leaving. We're like, oh, let's make all the verses like really positive. So it sounds like a love song, but she's leaving.
She's leaving.
You know, when you started, yeah. I was like, wow, the love theme is still continuing. Yeah. We were talking about love in our, you know,
yeah.
Before
it's a love
you came
week,
on.
Yeah.
It's like kind of our love week, but.
It is a love song.
Then,
it's just a sad
yeah.
ending.
And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is so beautiful, this love. And then she's leaving. What do you mean she's leaving?
That's what I say. What do you mean?
That's ridiculous. Who would leave you, Frankie? Nobody would leave you.
Is this song based on a particular person, Frankie, or is it just something that came to you this week?
No, John.
thanks, Tony, for sitting in
but
on
I
that
think,
song,
no,
by
well,
the way.
Tony, is it somebody that you would like to discuss that you're, that the song is written about? If it isn't Frankie, is it you?
No comment.
No comment. You hauled yourself down here for a no comment. I can't believe it.
So, that is beautiful. That literally, the lyrics are sitting there right
I know,
now.
It's handwritten.
I mean, it's beautiful.
I'll leave these with you guys.
It's a hit.
Yeah, we'll laminate them. We'll put them
maybe
up.
Maybe I should leave just so that
the
it
funny thing is the last time we did, we were on the road with Air Supply and the Graham Russell, he's a songwriter.
The tall one.
The tall guy, yeah. He, not the really high voice. The,
not the curly-haired high
voice.
The
tall
voice,
one and the other one.
Yeah. No, we were sitting there and we were scratching out ideas for a song. Same thing like this, just last second. We were going to play at a show last second. And it ended up being this song called Dance With Me that hit like number 7 on the charts.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now how many, I mean.
Bought these guitars.
There you go.
<That's good. laughs>
How many, I mean, obviously these things just come to you. So like how many times in a week does some sort of inspiration for a song come to you?
No, we write every day. I used to work in Nashville as what's called a staff songwriter, and you're on like a payroll to write music,
so
and you have to turn in a quota
about,
of songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have a quota.
Well,
you
yes,
have to hit,
it was different for me. I was an artist / songwriter, so when you're an artist, you don't have to write as many songs for a publishing company because they assume you're going to cut the song. It's not like we have to find someone to cut it.
Yeah.
Oh,
if I write
right.
it,
oh, okay.
Odds are pretty good that I'm going to record
yeah.
it.
And one, they're part and party.
Yeah.
Yeah, one goes with the other. Right.
So I had to do like a song a month, you know, and they paid
me.
Well,
for you, gosh, it must have been, you must have had like 500 a month.
We literally probably crank out 20 or 25 a month, you know.
Wow.
But there's times when there's dry spells and like a week goes by and we don't do anything. So me and my brother, Tony, and
Slacker. Okay.
we have our youngest brother, Ricky, also writes with us. And so when there's times when we can't write, we do like a last minute book a plane ticket to like Egypt or Australia or something crazy. Just go someplace.
You told me this Egypt story. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we left just in time on Egypt.
Yeah, I was just about to say, don't do Egypt now. I'm against that.
We just left Egypt only because I got a call that we had to go perform for Simon Cowell from American Idol in
We've
London.
We've heard of him.
He's the mean one.
Come on.
Yeah, you know, he was super nice.
No, but this is
like,
an incredible story about how he found you guys.
Yeah, he was super nice. I think if he wouldn't have liked me or something, he would have been a...
Well, that's his M.O. But yeah, if you could run us through the account of how he discovered you guys, you're in, I mean, literally in Egypt, and he has tried to reach you there,
right?
Yeah,
we're
called you on
in
cell phone.
Egypt to write music for the Sony recording thing that came up. We're going to be recording for Sony and Joshua Bell's label, Masterworks. Mm-hmm. And we were out there to write music for the album for it, just to be inspired. And it's a very different place. I mean, we've been all over the place, and but we went out in front of the pyramids.
And, did you ride a camel?
Yeah, we rode camels, and we sat there, and we went way out into the Sahara, like 50 miles out into the Sahara or more, and with the pyramids in the back, and we just sit there and write. And the way we do it is, instead of like recording it so we remember it or writing it down, we just write it, memorize it real quick, and put the video cameras on and we film it where we are.
And so,
and I put those on my website.
Those become an organic video.
Yeah, so there are these little you know, guerrilla-style videos of us writing, like, in front of the Eiffel Tower, in front of the pyramids, in front of the Colosseum, you know, whatever.
You're like the Travelocity gnome, but you're artist.
Yeah, exactly.
People are like, are they green screening all of this?
Yeah, just a slideshow behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, that's the Sahara Hotel. Yeah, that's the Luxor. These guys are frauds.
No, but we were there, and then we get this call like, hey, we need you to come down and perform for Simon Cowell in London. Can you be in New York tomorrow? And I said, even if we leave right now, there's no way. Yeah. I mean, it's
you got to come back here, 23 and go back
hours.
To New York, right?
Have to come back. And I said, bring a suit, they said, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because you're going to perform.
That's the easy part.
Yeah, so I had to go home to Vegas, back to New York, and then we ended up going out to London and doing a show. And it was crazy. But luckily, it got us out of there right before this revolution went down.
Yeah.
So that was pretty intense.
A huge moment in your career, though.
Yeah.
So Simon was nice, though?
It's like 30 people in the room. We played at a place called the Pigalle, where the Beatles were actually, which will tie into a later conversation.
Mark that segue, Dish.
It's marked.
The Beatles signed a contract here to play weekends at this place called the Pigalle, at least from what they've told me. If my facts are wrong to any Beatles fanatics out there.
Well, that would be Cats.
I've never heard of the place, fanatic. But continue.
Okay, go on.
It's in Piccadilly Square, and they signed
this. I've heard
this,
of that. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. Like right around the corner from where they did that rooftop thing. But anyway, when they were just starting out and everything, and they had recorded their record and it shipped to America, but they were supposed to be doing some shows at this place. And then the record in America went huge, and of course it never took place. But we performed there, and it was like 30 people. It was called Psycho, Simon Cowell's company. Mm. Mm-hmm. They do all the, you know, the Dancing with the Stars, all that. And about 30 people from the label and Sony, and my managers were there, and that was it. And we performed a 12-minute, maybe a 15-minute show.
Wow, all that traveling from Egypt.
I've seen you perform. You can't even clear your throat in 12 minutes.
I know. And it takes me half hour just to get my buzz on.
Except for Saturday.
I started early. I started early.
Yeah,
it was a 90-minute extravaganza.
I have noted the segue, but I do have to say that a couple times I've seen you perform was actually at the South Point.
Oh, my gosh. That's a long
time ago.
Wow,
that was a while ago.
Yeah. Hey, you don't think that I know things, Cats. I know things.
Get off my back on this.
And it was kind of a ruckus, drunken night. Yeah, like, I have to say, there was a lot of bizarreness with the band, and the band's a little crazy.
That's the beauty of coming to watch us play. You never know
if I'm going
to get 86'd or, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen
the band by Grammy.
You had a fight in your show that one night when Graham Russell was there.
Yeah, we've had a couple. We had a couple of issues.
Yeah, it was a little insane. Yeah, someone was a little, one of the band members was a little out of control that night.
It was probably me.
Probably Tony.
No, it wasn't. No, you were good. And it wasn't Tony either.
Oh, the little drummer got naked.
Yes.
He got naked.
Yeah, it was exciting for me.
Little drummer got naked.
It's
a chapter in your book. Little drummer got naked.
You know, as you know, a single girl in Vegas, when a little drummer gets naked, it's an exciting night.
Yeah, you tend to remember it, even if it is at the same time.
But he was little, so.
Yeah, well. You know, I there's so many lines there that I could use, but being a nice lady, I'm going to keep it to myself. But it was fun.
But it's a new show. We have a new show now.
And he called the next day. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, it was 2 days later.
No, so I have to represent for, you know, the Sony people and all that stuff now. So it's
got to be a little bit more
constrained. Yeah, I have to dress up and kind of actually play music and all that now.
Right.
Oh, so now I have to come and see them more. Like,
yeah, I got horns in the band.
What do you got, three horns for now,
but it's probably going to be a big band.
Huge sound in that lounge. Big sound.
Yeah, it's very old school.
Really quick, we have to say that it's the that you're going to be there pretty much the 18th, the 24th, 25th. You're going to be here for a while at the Golden Nugget.
Yeah,
you're
I'm here the 10th and 11th. So
yeah, this weekend. Tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah. We're doing kind of just spot things. We used to play there all the time, and then I stopped because I'm not really allowed to be performing too much right now because we're writing for this record.
You don't want to burn your
Well, they just don't want me to be seen until all the marketing is right.
Yeah.
So I've been rehearsing at home.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
They want to be seen so we can market you.
Well, they want to find the key exact way to market it. And if I'm out there just mm-hmm. doing this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this.
Dancing on the piano. Yeah. Ordering shots.
Yeah, we have to figure out exactly the marketing.
This company's like the Brian Epstein of you guys.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That would be a bonus. And I mean, look at, you've got the beautiful brothers, and I imagine the third brother's just as attractive. So you've got three hot guys. The women will flock no matter what. That's the marketing. Your face. That's my point.
I got to do this. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. Our guest at this moment is Frankie Moreno. And speaking of the Beatles.
Well, wait, let's go back to segue.
Wait a minute. Frankie Moreno, by the way, not the Joan Rivers impersonator.
Yes. Oh, we have not. We've even talked about that.
How is there confusion?
Well, it's
well,
just the name.
Well, if I shave real
alone.
Close, I am kind of beautiful.
You are beautiful. I do have to say you're striking.
Well,
but
just kidding.
Your gowns aren't
segue.
Nearly as intricate as
no,
his.
No, they're not.
Yes,
no.
Exactly. Back to, you missed the segue, Katz.
Go ahead,
I'm
do the segue.
I'm supposed to remind
dish.
You that we're supposed to go back to talk about the Beatles.
Speaking of the Beatles is what you say. Speaking
Unfortunately,
of
which, we're out of time.
I can't be out of time. So I've been covering the red carpet last night, or Wednesday night, I should say, at the Love.
We're
and
so
here comes.
Up about what here,
where are we? Where are my pants? Where's my drummer? We see Frankie walk down the red carpet with Joshua Bell, and I think intuitively.
Who is not Josh Bell?
Who's not Josh Bell? Our movie critic.
Our movie critic's name is Josh Bell.
Really?
That's on our show,
it's
yes.
Massive confusion.
Sorry.
Anyway,
you don't
these
want to
guys
take advice
down.
From this guy in movies.
Yeah, I don't think so. But he can sure play the violin. So these guys come down the red carpet. And the point of this is what, Frankie? Why are you on the red carpet of Love, a show that you didn't see until Wednesday night?
Well, it kind of ties into the whole thing. No, I
haven't.
No, I've always been working or out of town. It kind of ties into the whole thing of the Sony records and all that. I got my Sony deal because I met Joshua Bell. He came in one night to the Rush, mm-hmm. the Nugget, to hear us. And he ended up asking me to play on his record. And Paul McCartney was supposed to be on this record. And Josh Groban's on the record. Trumpet player Chris Botti's on the record. Regina Spektor. Kristen Chenoweth.
So pretty much nobody's. No one, yeah.
A bunch of rising stars.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Emerging artists.
People we don't know about.
I had no idea the magnitude of what the record was going to be, who was on it. And all. Sting. Sting was on the record.
Who? I'm
the,
not
but they didn't, he didn't tell me this. He just says, can you play my record? And I have no idea who this guy is, right? Joshua Bell.
Are you,
at
really?
The time. At the time,
wow.
I didn't know.
Hmm. Wow.
I was familiar with the name, and I've, of course,
said,
I've heard
oh,
a lot
the movie
of his
critic.
Work. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to bring Josh Bell to see Frankie one time.
Yeah. No, but he asked me playing this record. I do the record. Paul McCartney has to pull out for whatever reason, because we have to have it done in a certain time so it can be nominated for Grammys as the plan. So we decide to ditch one of the songs we're going to do, and we do a Beatles song. We do a version of Eleanor Rigby. Well, it turns out to be pretty cool, intense, like classical, neoclassical.
It's very cool, yeah.
Record. The album hits number one on the Billboard charts, the classical crossover charts. Gets me a record deal, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is a year and a half or a little bit more. They call me up. They're doing the red carpet for the Beatles Love Show,
fifth anniversary.
They go, Paul's going to be there. And I had never met Paul. You know, we had done this and heard that he had heard the recording and loved it mm-hmm. and whatever. But we'd never met him. And so I guess in the past, Paul's management had talked to Josh about performing at the White House with him to do this Eleanor Rigby possibly mm-hmm. thing. But his segment got cut short.
Yeah, and yours...
Yeah,
that would
and that, of course, got cut. Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh, my God, this would be awesome. We get to perform at this thing. They asked us to perform, walk the red carpet. We're in this little room with, I mean, you know who was there. Yoko Ono, oh, yeah. Sugar Ray, Killers, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Matt Sorum, Matt Goss.
Matt Goss, which I have another story about.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot that.
Which was all completely untrue kind of thing that went down.
I know that deal.
We fixed it.
I got
it.
Nothing to say.
We fixed it all because I walked up
guy.
To him. I said, hey,
you
I don't know. There's
guys.
Like there's rumors going around or something yeah. like that. So
you had made a comment about one of the horn players. It was on
wait,
stage.
Wait,
I
want to get back to Love.
Anyway, yeah, yeah.
I want to get
okay,
back to story.
But we
sorry.
Love you, Matt. That was
Matt's
all
a great guy. You're a great guy. You guys are fine.
Everybody's
continue.
Great.
Back
to
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney.
Back to Paul McCartney.
Not that I don't love Matt, because I do love Matt, but I mean, but I want to hear about Paul McCartney.
Where was
where
I?
Where you were about to perform Eleanor Rigby.
Do we have time? Do we have
yes.
time for this story?
You got to finish this okay. story. This is the okay. story we want out of you, Frankie
so
Moreno.
They say,
you
got to
nail it. You got to stick the landing on this.
I got it. I was a little dazed because I had a good buzz last night. No, so I'm in this room, and I'm 1 minute I'm hugging Yoko Ono, which is so surreal because I've, you know, Josh doesn't drink before he plays because he's a classical artist.
Oh, you guys must get along great then.
Yeah, it's very, very unique little
chemistry. More for Frankie.
And I'm hugging Yoko Ono, and I think she says somebody in the room was trying to kill her or something. I don't know. My ears are ringing, and I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even her. But So they
maybe it was one of the killers.
It was a naked drummer. Killers.
Maybe it's Ronnie Vannucci from the killers. Who is a naked drummer? No, I can't.
We're trying to kill Yoko Ono.
Who, by the way, Ronnie Vannucci is. I have a story about him another time. Okay. But go on. Okay. We've got to get back to the story.
So they put me on the red carpet. This is the most scattered interview. I can't think of where I am.
We're going to get to the bottom of this.
I'm on the red carpet and they're doing the things and everything. And John's standing there. And I'm trying to get him into this party afterwards, but it was so locked down.
Yeah.
So I see him and I thought, oh, maybe he got in. Well, anyway, we do the thing. We're supposed to go perform. And this whole time, the word is that Paul is supposed to perform this with us. Well, our arrangement of Eleanor Rigby is pretty intense.
And it's complicated and it's way different than that.
Beatles album version. Let's face it, there's no room for Paul McCartney. Okay.
Well, no, but yeah, true. But at the same time, they're going, even if he stands there and just goes boom, boom, boom on his bass, mm-hmm. awesome, it's Paul McCartney.
Or even plays the bass instead of just going boom, boom, boom.
Anyway, but at the same time, we're stressing like it's going to sound bad, but it's going to be so cool.
Because it's Paul McCartney.
So we're trying to figure out how this is going to go down. He didn't sound check with us, you know. We don't know what's going on. So Josh goes, let's run this. We're starting to get a little scared now going, he's going to jump up on stage and this whole arrangement's going to go out the window, which for me is fine. I'm an improviser. But Josh is a very technical, classical virtuoso.
He's kind of persnickety about such things.
Well, you can't just change the arrangement because it's like, it's...
Yeah. Well, you can't do it on the fly.
No, we have this thing. And so we go into the room to rehearse it one more time into this ballroom where there's a piano set up. Ba da 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 boom! A string snaps on his violin.
Oh dear!
I wish I had a camera because we both just went. We're on in like 5 minutes.
Oh no!
So now you got to hustle a violin string out of somebody.
Gets a violin string. He fixes his string. We run up. We get on the stage, and they're like, "Okay, you're gonna go on in 2 minutes." Is Paul playing? Oh, we don't know. Probably not. He's just gonna watch.
Good news, bad news, whatever it is.
I don't know. Uh-huh. Ladies and gentlemen, they go on, we perform the whole thing, and it went great. It went smooth. He didn't jump on the stage, but right afterwards, we went to go meet him. He invited us. He had this little cabana, and he's like, come into our cabana.
See, Paul McCartney gets those cabanas. That drives me crazy.
Anyway, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was filled
just
with...
Because he's Paul McCartney, I guess.
It was filled with Jello wrestling, and it was very weird. There was all kinds of... little
weird,
naked drummers like doing
that is weird because I think he's vegan and he can't eat Jell-O.
He is vegan, which yeah.
All right, Frankie, we're at the play out now.
All right.
We're at the
Thank
end
gosh
of this.
We got the end of the story though.
I know.
Yeah, sorry.
Man, that was the long and winding road.
It was.
Frankie Marino, one of my favorite guys in Las Vegas, and Tony, also one of my favorite guys in Las Vegas, are going to be at Rush Lounge the next couple weekends, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
So go catch them.
It's a free show. It's free. Show. We're just kind of rehearsing our show for the road. So.
Free show, but you leave feeling taxed, as we
We're going to go this weekend.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll get over there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Post-McCartney.
Yes. It's tonight.
Another segment.
Post-McCartney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to McCartney tonight.
That's right. I'm actually going to the McCartney tomorrow, and then... Oh yeah, tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, tonight. And they go,
it's tonight. So don't let us screw you.
I forgot how late it is right now.
I think some of us are still in Egypt.
Yeah.
Or at the Sahara. All right.
Pleasure being on your show.
We'll have
you
back, man. This is awesome. All Thanks right. for coming down.
Yeah, thank you. Las Vegas.